Well, my name is Irene. Some of you know me, some of you don't. Welcome. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And tonight we're talking about hope, and I love this scripture, and I'm so excited that we get to talk about hope today because we just celebrated the greatest hope in the history ever of Easter, of the resurrection of that empty tomb. And we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure, and that is Jesus Christ. And I'm just so very grateful that we have that because I don't know where my life would be. I'd be hopeless. So I always thought, I think that that's very appropriate that we're going to talk about tonight. So have you ever felt hopeless? You ever felt that you've lost all hope? You ever felt that there's nothing that's good's going to happen? Mine for me was in 1987 when my husband died. We're living here on the island, and I thought I found the love of my life and had a really good life. And when George died, he was a believer in Jesus, so was I. That didn't quite make any difference to me at that point. I had a little girl to take care of, and I felt I was 29 years old, and I felt like the rug was just pulled out from underneath me, and I felt like there was no hope in the world. And kind of a little bonkers after that one. But and the other thing was, has anyone ever broken a promise to you and just left your heart all mangled up and you feel like you're just stomped on? I had the pleasure of having that happen by my second husband. That you just feel that there's nothing left anymore. You give and you give and you give, and somebody just makes a promise to you and then breaks it. What do you do with that? Well, that's why we're here. That's what we're here to talk about. Maybe the memories of broken promises have left you broken. Maybe feelings of lost hope have left you feeling hopeless. Happy to say that we've got this group, Lifeline, here to work that out. I believe in accountability. I believe in processing it with other people so you don't have to go through this alone. And that's one of the reasons why we're here. So in the first principle we talked about last week with Jen, we admitted that we were powerless. If you following the steps, that's one of the things that we are. We are powerless. We can't do anything. We finally admitted that I don't have any control in my life anymore. I just can't do it anymore. So we admitted that we were powerless. Through this, we're able to receive and believe in God's power to help us recover. We need to be careful not to just cover up our hurts, habits, and hang-ups with layers of denial, which we can get so very good at doing, or try some quick fix programs. Usually that's alcohol and, you know, whatever your pleasure might be. Mine is food, you know, sex. It could be anything, shopping. Instead, we need to keep those hurts exposed to the light, and that's to the light that's out there, to the world. So we keep it hidden, then we kind of pretend it doesn't really happen. You know, like you say, if you don't talk about it, it didn't really happen. So through God's power, you can truly heal. It's in the second principle, this principle, that we come to believe that God does exist, that we are important to Him, that we are able to find our true higher power, and that's Jesus Christ, who wants to fill our lives with His love, His joy, His power, and His presence. In the Gospel of Luke, I'm sure you've heard of the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. You can read about that on your own time. But it's talking about a father who is welcoming back his son who's been lost all these years. The picture really is describing God's love for us. And I always love the picture of seeing, when you read the story, it's the father sees his son who's been gone for a long time, who thought, I don't need this life anymore, so I'm going to go get free and find out whatever else I can do out there. But he realized he can't, so he wants to come home, but he's afraid to come home. He's afraid that his dad's going to say, no, I don't want you anymore. Well, when he sees the son from really far away, the kid is scared to death to come. And if you ever had a hard-headed dad, you know what that feels like, you know. But what happens is the father sees him. And it always makes me cry. He's just so full of joy that he sees his son. It's all he can think about. He runs to him, says, my son is home. And I just love that picture of the father going for his son, no matter what. He accepted him. He gave him the biggest party. He gave him his best robes. He did everything for him. He didn't care what his son had done. He didn't care where his son went. But he was so crazy happy that he was back with him. I never experienced that with my father, my earthly father. Never. He was not a very nice man, usually. So when I read this story, it's a picture of God who's looking at us as sinners who are so broken. We think that we have done so many wrong things that we could never, ever come to Christ and say, oh, I'm sorry. You know, we're so scared. We screwed up so bad that we just forget it. But there's God standing there right there. He's just waiting for you to come there. And he's going to say, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that you're here. You have just filled my life with joy. And that is just so overwhelming to me. God's love is looking for you no matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter how many times you've fallen into sin. His hands of mercy are reaching out to you. And it's just a beautiful picture to me. And you know what, you guys? This is where you're going to find hope. Not in people who are going to disappoint you. It could be parents, it could be wives, it could be husbands, it could be children, friends, whatever. People will disappoint us. Sorry, that's just the way it is. It's our human nature thing. You know, thank the little snake in the Adam and Eve garden, you know. But God, who promises us forgiveness, love, and life, and he fulfilled it in that empty tomb on Easter morning, because that cross is empty and that tomb is empty. He has risen. He's the only one who has risen. So that is hope all right there, because that's true. That means God kept his promise. God promised in the Old Testament to deliver that. And when God kept his promise, set made his promise, he kept it. God will never break his promises to you, ever. People will break their promise to you. It's almost guaranteed. But God will not. And together we can find God. And all you have to do is ask. That's hope. So let's look at what the word hope means in principle two. We have a little acronym in your little folder you could look at. We kind of like acronyms around here. It's kind of funny. So the H in hope means higher power. Our higher power is named Jesus Christ. I know in AA, they just call it higher power, and I think that's wonderful. That gives everybody that choice, what they believe in. But here, we believe in Jesus. Romans 11:36 says, everything comes from God alone, and everything lives by his power. The hope that we have in Jesus and the promises of eternal life, it keeps our souls anchored while we're tossed around by this world of problems that are just engulfing us all the time. Years ago, I used to teach a class. Funnily, it's Weight Watchers, but since food is my addiction. They had this, one of the steps that you take in Weight Watchers is called anchoring. And what that meant is when something good happens in your life, you take like a little souvenir, let's say. You get something. I would give out little pebbles so people could carry them with them. Some people get jewelry or something. And what that is for is to remind you of that good thing that you did. You always want to be reminded because we tend to forget. That's another part of human nature, especially as we get older. It's really fun. But that's what the anchor is. And so we have that in Jesus. Jesus' fulfillment of God's promise to love, redeem, and restore us in relationship with the Father provides us with unwavering security from our hearts to hold on to. And that's what I hang on to. From losing George, which completely broke me, to the next step, you know, that's what I have. The next letter is O, which stands for openness to change. And it says in the first words of step two, it says, we came to believe. And that's anything that describes a process. So the process that leads us to solid belief, which leads you to change your life, it means we came, you come to a recovery meeting, means you came to stop denying your hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and we came to believe that we started to believe and receive God's power to help us recover. Hope is openness to change. Sometimes we're afraid to change. Sometimes we're afraid because we get stuck in that muck and mire because it's unknown to us. And sometimes we feel like we don't deserve anything better. But here's the good news. Hope opens doors. Hope is something that you can hang on to, and it's alive and it's ready for you to grab onto that. Very quickly, let's go to, where is P? There's power. Yeah. P is for power to change. Power to change comes from God's grace. I love it in the Message. It says in Romans 8:11, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the live and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the very same thing for you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you today if you've received him. That's power. The last letter is E. You expect to change. Come here with expectancy. Expect that God can do great things in your life. You want to do it. You're here. You want to do it. You want that change. You have to take that first step, and the first step is to accept Christ and to do that and admit that you're powerless and believe that you have the hope to do this and take those next steps. So my prayer is that these truths will sink into your heads, and as we go off into our small groups, that you'll be able to process this, and there's some questions in the pamphlets that we'll talk about. A little bit more on hope. And so I just pray many blessings upon your groups.